Welcome to Enjoy Exceptional Living. I am Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. This program is in collaboration with Enjoy Magazine, KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio, and myself. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. In each of our programs, our intention is to bring to our listeners the best of people, places, and projects of Northern California that we think you're going to enjoy and that we think are exceptional. Today, I have in the studio with me two individuals from Turtle Bay Exploration Park. We have curator of collections and exhibits, Julia Cronin, and the marketing coordinator, Alyssa Rosa. Welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, I love having all the many wonderful guests we've had from Turtle Bay Exploration Park. I learned so much, and there's always something new that I didn't know, so I really like that. So, Julia, how long have you been affiliated with Turtle Bay Exploration Park?
More than 27 years now.
Yes, you're, in this moment, our expert. And so perhaps there's someone out there, can't imagine this, but I would describe Turtle Bay Exploration Park as a regional, having a regional attraction and being of value and interest regionally. However, I also think it goes far beyond that. So maybe there's someone tuning in that's never had the experience of Turtle Bay Exploration Park and wants to know, give me an overview of how you would describe Turtle Bay Exploration Park.
So we are a 300-acre multidisciplinary campus that straddles the Sacramento River, and our two sides are connected by the wonderful Sundial Bridge. So you have a museum that features art and culture and science. We have our forest camp where you have forestry focus, but you also have a wonderful animal program and animal experience with all of our live animals. We also, on the north side, have the McConnell Botanical Gardens and Arboretum. The whole thing is tied together by our mission. It's a wonderful place for the whole family. It's not it's not aimed at any age or even any discipline. You don't have to be like, oh, well, I don't, you know, what am I looking at here?
And I would say it really is for every age. Doesn't matter how young, doesn't matter how old, there's something for everyone.
Right. We want people to have a great experience throughout their entire lives. We want to create lifelong learners. And we're where we're situated, we're really fortunate because we're also on the hub of the River Trail. So we get a lot of folks coming both from Redding and the surrounding regional area, but we also draw a lot of tourists off the freeway. We have a lot of members that are actually far flung that buy our Turtle Bay membership because they know they're going to stop a couple of times a year driving up and down I-5 and hang out for the day.
Isn't that nice? I love that. And one of the things that I think is noteworthy to mention, in 2024, there was a special event that about tying the two ends of the campus together.
Celebrate 20. So the Sundial Bridge was completed in 2004. And this year we celebrated its 20th anniversary. So the bridge, of course, is both ends of the river or both sides of the river. And kind of did a little bit of a repeat of something we did on its 10th anniversary. We were very fortunate to have the vertical dance troupe Bandaloop out of Oakland back on the bridge again. And they had four shows and it attracted so many people to the wonderful architecture, or as I like to say, art you can walk on, of the Sundial Bridge. It's a regional icon. It brings people from around the world to see Santiago Calatrava's architecture. He's famous for so many things now, but we were very lucky that we got him earlier on when not everybody knew about him.
Yes.
And we're really fortunate that it's such an icon because it is. When I was talking to somebody about the city of Redding, I said, when I got here in 1997, the iconography of the city was always the Shasta Dam.
Yes.
In the background. And now it's the Sundial Bridge, including our city flag.
And you know what I especially like about the Sundial Bridge? Of course, its beauty, its position, you know, as a sundial, a working sundial calibrated to the summer solstice, spanning the beautiful Sacramento, gives us access to be able to look upriver and downriver and see all the beautiful wildlife that's there. So it makes a connection, you know, emotionally, psychologically, spiritually in that way, but it also connects the two campuses of Turtle Bay.
Exactly, which lets our guests experience the entire campus without having to drive from one side to the other.
Yes.
Which we used to have to do before 2004. And it's such a wonderful thing for folks to come and think they're just going to go see an exhibition in the museum, or just think they're going to go see an animal show, and find out from the front desk when they walk in how much is really going on campus.
Yeah.
And then they spend the entire day, or they come back.
Yeah.
And, or best, they join as a member of Turtle Bay. So they get all of our information all the time, mm-hmm. and they can come in anytime for free.
Mm-hmm. From that initial membership yeah. for a whole year.
Yes.
You can go as many times. You could go every day if you wanted
you
to.
You could go every day. And I think some people do who I have small so. Children, especially in the summertime.
Yeah.
But I love seeing our repeat guests back over and over again and hearing from them. And also, if you're a member, you get discounts on our events. You get discounts in our restaurants, the Mosaic and the Branch House Bistro next to the museum. And you also get all kinds of other discounts around town. Plus, you're a member of the ASTC network of museums and an arboretum network that gives you free and reduced price admissions all over the country.
Yeah, I think that's a wonderful aspect. I do the membership because I like to go when I want to go. And also, I take a couple guests. As an individual member, I can take a couple guests. Yep. And so it makes it really nice. And, you know, with the Sundial Bridge, people will come from all over the world just to see that art piece. It's practical, it's beautiful, and it's an architectural feat and unique because it's white, it's a sundial, it's positioned over the beautiful Sacramento River. And what's nice, too, not only tying the campuses of Turtle Bay North and South together, you have 9 miles from Turtle Bay that you can go on the river trail by bike, by walking, by running, whatever you want to do, clear up to Shasta Dam and back. It's
yep.
just beautiful.
And we see a lot of those folks out on their bicycles or walking or running using those trails every day. We're kind of dog central, too. If you're a dog watcher, you can come down to the Sundial Bridge and hang out and watch everybody go by with their dogs.
Yes. Now, we mentioned membership. I'm going to ask you, Alyssa Rosa, as the marketing coordinator, you heard Julie and I talking about it. Let's talk about membership. Are there different levels, or how's it work if you're a member?
Yeah, so there's a few different levels. As you said, there's like a singular membership for people who just want to come as an individual. But our most popular one is our family membership. And that is two adults can bring 4 children with them. And that's definitely our most popular membership that we have and is so worth it, especially if you have little ones that you like to bring to the park multiple times a year. Like you said, every day if you want to during the summer, winter, it's definitely the best membership that we offer and the most popular. But there's different levels as far as what kind of family that you have, if you're just an individual, if you have a smaller family. So if you go to turtlebay.org/membership, you can check out all of our different levels.
Yeah, I think that's wonderful. So when we're painting the picture of Turtle Bay Exploration Park, is there something just in the general info that we haven't covered, or do you think we've sufficiently gotten an overview?
I think it's a good overview, but I really think if people go to our website, you really learn about us, turtlebay.org. Mm-hmm. It's more than just how to get there and what's happening. There are deep informational pieces about our animals, our arboretum, and our gardens, and all of our exhibitions. And very thoughtful pieces written by the curatorial staff and others that will lead you into content as well as just directions.
Yes. And one of the things I want us to be sure and cover, there's some things that you've become known for that have very special interests, and not only just to our region, but even beyond our region. And that is the holiday event with the Garden of Lights, beautiful. And then the Glowing Wild that began in 2024, which is a spring event. And the lanterns, oh my gosh, that was my favorite. I love that. So we also know that the focus of the year changes depending on the season. And so we're coming up on the cusp of the summer season ending, Julia, right?
Yes, we are. Our current exhibition, Expedition Dinosaur Rise of the Mammals, will be ending on Labor Day. And then we'll be installing 2 new exhibitions, which open on September 14th and 28th. And that is For those of you who are fans of Mindbender Mansion that was there back in 2015, we have a smaller version going in that'll open on the 14th. And then we have a wonderful art exhibition. It's Art Nouveau, Alphonse Mucha, one of the premier Art Nouveau artists and sort of the founder of the movement.
Wow.
And that's opening on the 28th of September. And those will be running up until, well, one of them closes on December 31st and the other runs into January. So those, you know, it's time to come away from summer, but you're still going to be able to engage your brain and your aesthetic sense in the museum. And we're super excited about that. And we're also doing a little special thing for our local folks. We are doing an exhibition in the glass case in the main museum called The Rise and Fall of the Downtown Mall.
Oh.
And so one of our wonderful volunteers did most of the research, and my assistant curator is currently working to her fingers to the bone to make that happen. We have a lot of artifacts from 1970 that were donated to the museum when the mall deconstruction happened downtown and they started tearing out buildings. And then we have wonderful photos of that being built, a little bit about the history of the mall running, and then its eventual deconstruction back in 2008. And so we thought it would be a great piece of local history for folks to see that.
And, you know, even though it's local history, many communities go through such transitions. And so to be able to look at the history of what unfolded and how that process was also helps others that may be in their own communities, may be facing that or have gone through that. And it's really it's about the human process of embracing change, really.
Exactly. And that's something a lot of people, when they talked about the new construction downtown and sort of the new face of downtown, said, well, maybe we're getting it right this time. I said, well, they thought they were getting it right in 1972.
Yeah.
Right depends on your time and your situation. Everybody wanted an enclosed air-conditioned mall and a multi-story parking lot in 1972, and that's what we had. And it outlived its usefulness. And now, fortunately, we got our downtown back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just a ghost town because of all the wonderful planning and thought that has gone into it. But we want to kind of highlight that evolution.
Yes, I think it's very important. And, you know, it also reminds me of the construction of the Sundial Bridge, which was a 10-year process. During that process, many people resisted the change, felt that it was unnecessary or too expensive or whatever the thought was. And yet once that was the ribbon cutting happened and was dedicated and open to the public, all of a sudden the public embraced it. And now it's become an icon representing the city. And so that transition, it's really interesting how we work psychologically, how we embrace change or we resist change. So I think having that exhibit on the rise and fall of the downtown Reading is a very good thing to do.
And to put it all, wrap it all about it, and speaking of the Sundial Bridge and Turtle Bay, the local Quilters Society is going to be hanging a show that will open when we open everything up on the 28th that is themed around Turtle Bay and the 20th anniversary of the Sundial Bridge.
That's awesome. I saw the flyer on that. I like how that's done. It's beautiful.
We're really excited.
Quilting is such an art. There's an engineer person I know that does quilting, and it's just fabulous. I think it's beautiful. Something to look forward to. I know I've shared it with a few friends of mine that do quilting in Trinity County, and they're all planning to be here. So
wonderful. We're very excited. We had a lot more response than they had anticipated, and it's very exciting.
Good, good. I want to also pause for a moment for a station ID. This is Enjoy Exceptional Living. I am Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. This program is in collaboration with Enjoy Magazine, KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio, and myself. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. We are here in conversation with two individuals from Turtle Bay Exploration Park. We have the curator of collections and exhibits, Julia Cronin, and our marketing coordinator, Alyssa Rosa. I think we've given a good overview of Turtle Bay Exploration Park, and you talked about the exhibits. One of the things I'd like to have you talk about, Julia, is you make a plan, and is it for the entire year? Because summer is different than winter, and spring is different than summer. Is that true?
Yes, we actually book years in advance. Oh. So I already know what the summer exhibitions are going to be in 2025 and 2026. Ooh.
Wow.
And we do that so that we can secure, if we're renting exhibitions, we can secure things well in advance. And we build out the year to look at balance. Art, history, science. If I'm going to have an art exhibition up, I'm going to try to make sure that there's a hands-on something in the other room to keep people occupied and entertained who may not be interested in the art or may not know they're interested in the art. Years ago, when we had a Picasso ceramics exhibition, I joked, come for the porcupine, stay for the Picasso. We also want people to come for the Mooka and stay for the animals.
Yes.
And so we try to balance that out as best we can. We also do a lot of our own in-house curating. So we will look at spaces that where we can fill in things with our shows.
Mm-hmm.
And or plan everything around something that we really want to do that's a timely exhibition.
Yes.
And we also look at how much space it's going to take. We look at, you know, oh, wow, it's the holiday season. We know people are going to bring their families in, so we want a lot of variety because you might have brought grandma in when you at the end of Thanksgiving and you want to make sure she's as happy as her great-grandchildren are.
Yes.
On that day.
Something for everyone.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's important. So, too, I'm thinking of, you know, you highlight those things. There are some things that always remain there. Mm-hmm. They're the things that I actually am drawn to as well. So I'm going to ask you, Alyssa Rosa, as the marketing coordinator, let's highlight some of the things that are always there. I know I can remember before the museum was actually constructed, down at where...
Branch House or Mosaic?
Mosaic, mm-hmm. Where Mosaic is. There used to be this walkway that just was out there in the middle of all the beautiful trees. And to me, I still love that walkway, even when there was nothing there, but especially now because there is stuff there.
Yes, the boardwalk.
The boardwalk. And sometimes during the year, I think it's around the holidays, there's special events with the lights that they'll do, you know, so there, it's just a beautiful space. So when you think of inside the museum, things that always stay stationary that people might enjoy, what's some of the things you think of, Alyssa?
Yeah, I mean, the museum has a lot of stationary things that we love to highlight. The Shasta Cavern replica is one of our favorites. It's just this really cool, again, you walk through and you look up and you can just see a full replica of the Shasta Caverns. And then if you round that corner, there's our river aquarium, which is really cool because it does stay there and you see all different kinds of trout and fish. And then of course our lovely beaver Timber.
Yes.
That's his home. And then, we also just have a lot of different, dammed bridge is always there and a lot of different things that people can check out that are always stay at the museum and never change. So if you go and you want to show your friends and family and bring them back, those things never switch around. So
I also like the tree.
Oh, yes. Yes.
The tree is really awesome because you not only see the tree, but you see the root system. Mm-hmm. And I think it helps us to understand because we don't typically see a root system. We might see a few on the ground, but in this, you really get an idea of what goes on when you have a tree.
Yes, absolutely. And then we have the Wintu Bark House that never moves as well, which is really cool. You can actually go into the bark house and listen to different stories and really learn about that whole, the Wintu Bark House and how it was created and hear stories in Wintu language. It's really, really cool for people to come and experience.
Yes, I think that's that cultural aspect that I'm especially drawn to because of the indigenous population that was here originally and to incorporate them as part of what's available for education, the history at Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Now, as we go on, I was thinking of you, Julia, talking about exhibits. Do you ever need volunteers, like with exhibits? Do you rely upon any help from volunteers or is it all paid staff?
Oh, no. We do have volunteer staff that helps us, especially with the behind-the-scenes things with our collection of art and artifacts. And once again, we have volunteers that do research and writing for us as well. Most of my volunteers are retired, so they don't do a lot of the sort of moving of crates and things like that anymore, though occasionally. And I do have a college-age volunteer right now who is doing a lot of things for us. And if you're interested in volunteering at Turtle Bay, you go to their website, to the volunteer tab, and fill out an application, And our wonderful volunteer coordinator, Liz Golnick, will contact you and set you up with the right place. And we actually have a volunteer
info hour
coming up. And Alyssa probably knows that date. I don't.
Yeah, it's Saturday, September 14th.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. It was the day we open Mindbender to the public. And that's a great way for volunteers to come in, meet potential volunteer bosses, learn about Turtle Bay, learn about all the opportunities there are to volunteer. Some of my volunteers only work in exhibits or collections. Some, we like to say, cross-pollinate and do lots of other things as well. So you're not stuck in one department if you have interest in other departments. It's a lot of fun. You know, if you're somebody who's like, well, I'm not interested in working on a computer all day long, there are things for you to do. We have our docents who work with the school tours, volunteers working with our famous artist art program. There's a lot going on at Turtle Bay. And if we didn't have our volunteers, we could not do everything that we do and keep it going because you know, it's only so many paid staff.
Yeah. They make a significant contribution.
Yeah.
And I think it's important. Part of the reason I do this program is not only to educate and inform the community, but also to invite the community to engage, to be part of. If they have time and can volunteer, doesn't matter what age they are. Sometimes teens are in between jobs or they're looking for a different experience, maybe something they might be interested in as a career. It's an opportunity to get to know people in the community, but also to give back in a way that really contributes to the well-being of an organization.
And our volunteer corps is like, it's a family and they get to be friends with each other. And you might meet people you never would have met in any
otherwise,
other way. Yeah.
That makes sense, huh? So we talked about the upcoming exhibits. Alyssa, can you tell us a little bit, maybe there's someone that's never experienced the Garden of Lights. We know it's happening November, what was the date?
November 22nd through January 5th.
Yes. So what's it like when you go to the Garden of Lights?
The Garden of Lights is an experience that I truly feel everyone should go to. We have people from all over California that travel up to come see Redding Garden of Lights. And this year is our fifth annual year for Garden of Lights. And it's this beautiful walkthrough of our gardens covered in what this year is actually going to be 2 million lights.
Ooh.
Yes. In the past, it's been a little less, but this year we have 2 million lights in our gardens and we try and switch it up every year. This year we're including an enchanted forest and a peppermint portal.
Wow.
And we're just switching things up with new music. So every year you should come because every year it could be different.
Yes.
And I just encourage people, it really gets you into the holiday spirit. It's the perfect thing to do with family and friends, and also another great way to see our garden in a different way.
Yeah.
There's food and drinks by Mosaic, so you can get a lot of different things. We have s'mores, we have cocktails for adults, we have our pizza truck, we also have a lot of other food and beverage options for purchase at Garden of Lights, so it's really a full experience.
Yeah.
And tickets go on sale September 2nd this year. So
ooh.
We get people, tickets sell out, night sell out, week sell out, months in advance. So I definitely encourage people to go to Redding Garden of Lights and really purchase tickets as soon as possible.
And one of the things I think is interesting, and I've heard people talk about it and have a whole different array of thoughts and experiences, but it's whatever the weather is, that's what happens. Mm-hmm. And I've had people say, it was pouring rain and it was so awesome. So, you know, I encourage people, get your tickets early because it doesn't really matter what the weather is. You're still going to have a great time.
Yes, we've had people enjoy it in the pouring rain and the freezing cold, whatever weather Redding decides to give us. It's truly enjoyable for the whole family.
Yes. And if you're a member, does that help with the cost of going to the event?
Absolutely. Members get discounts, like we said, across the board with Turtle Bay Exploration Park. But with Redding Garden of Lights, they get $5 off each ticket.
Yeah, that's nice. So Redding Garden of Lights, is it possible can you make the reservations online, buy a ticket online? So like if you have a group of 10 or 20 people, you can go on there and get that many tickets?
Yes, absolutely. You can buy all of your tickets online.
And when does it start in the evenings? Isn't there layers of when you have start times?
I believe that the first start time is at 5 or 6 p.m. This year, but then it goes all the way until, I mean, people are there till about 10 p.m. So yes. There's different slots that people can purchase tickets for.
And that's why you want to start early for purchase, because you can sign up for the slot you want versus mm-hmm. having leftovers perhaps later in the year.
Yes, definitely. And you want to just get there at when your time slot is, whatever time slot you decide, because I mean, sometimes you want to go earlier in the day, sometimes mm-hmm. you want to go later in the evening when it gets really, really dark. So being able to have that preference of when, what time you go is really helpful for a lot of families.
Is it practical if you're in a wheelchair or a walker to be able to attend the event?
Absolutely. I mean, we have, like we said, we have volunteers all over the gardens. So no matter what, there's somebody there to help. And we create the path for that is very accessible for anybody in a wheelchair or walker.
Yes, yes.
And we also have wheelchairs available for people who may not have one.
Yeah, I think that's great. And I'm going to ask you, each of you, when you think of the Garden of Lights, what's your favorite part about the Garden of the Lights?
Oh, man, how do you pick your favorite?
I know.
I have to say the meteor shower in the tree.
Oh, yes, that uh-huh. is a big one.
When I saw that when it started, I was like, that is really cool. I mean, I love the whole thing, but for some reason that just piqued everything. And I had purchased one of the iridescent clear umbrellas. And if you look at it through the umbrella, it kind of looks like fire.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's really, I wasn't expecting that. And yeah. I was like walking along with my little iridescent umbrella because it was raining. And I saw that and I thought, oh, that's really cool. But that's something that was, it's so, you know, lights in trees are yeah. amazing. That is just like, what am I in?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And a lot of those trees are secret. Some of them stay wrapped all year round because we use them for events.
Mm-hmm.
And that particular array in that tree is very hard to remove and put back, so they leave it up. And you can't see it during the day. But during Glowing Wild last year, they had it as well.
Uh-huh.
So it was see? Another added attraction. And it's one of those things that's like, oh, okay, this is happening. But we are, as Alyssa said, we're always adding new things
changing
and new music because we want people to keep coming back. But we also find little niches in the garden where we think, oh, this is a great idea. We can put something new mm-hmm. here for people to see. Or if something just is kind of tired, we can take it out.
Mm-hmm. Update it to something
absolutely
new and different.
Yeah.
I like when you do the tunnels of lights.
Oh, those are wonderful.
Yeah, I love those. Those are my favorite.
Yeah.
How about you, Alyssa?
I love the meadow. The meadow is one of my favorite parts. It almost feels like not quite the grand finale because it's right in the middle of everything, but you know, you get out of your pathway and then all of a sudden it opens up into this beautiful meadow, and they've really done the details to where all the trees light up to the music, and it just feels like you're really in the Christmas spirit once you get to the meadow.
I love that, and I think it's a great way if you have a family or friends that you think, well, I don't know what to get them. Well, get them a ticket. Go with them. It's a great experience to share with others.
100%.
Yeah. And I think it's become a tradition in many families to go.
Absolutely.
And I know most people go several times because they enjoy it so much. So
oh, yeah.
I think that's a good thing.
Yeah. It's a tradition that tons of families have built in their homes. And we love having everyone every year.
Yes. And I want to also, there's some other events coming up. Can you share with us, what's it called, Caffeinate for a Cause?
Yeah, a lot of what Turtle Bay does would not be possible without our fundraisers and our community coming together to make things possible. So coming up September 19th, we have Caffeinate for a Cause. And we really want to thank the Reznor family for their support with, you know, teaming up for Caffeinate for a Cause. So what that fundraiser is that Thursday, September 19th from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. and 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. We will be at Dutch Bros locations all over Reading. And this fundraiser, whenever you come through Dutch Bros, a dollar from every drink plus tips during those times is donated to Turtle Bay's educational programming. And while you're there, you could probably run into some Turtle Bay ambassadors, which is one of our favorite parts of the day. So we have celebrity baristas out there, you know, taking your orders and trying to get tips and talking to you, but you also get to see what Turtle Bay is about during your morning coffee run, which is really cool. And so Sharon will be out there with our newest ambassadors and some of our oldest ambassadors, so you might run into them. And it's just a really great way for us to get out into the community and spread the word about Turtle Bay.
So when you think of ambassadors that Sharon would be bringing, can you describe some of those?
Absolutely. So we have some fan favorites, but I believe Blossom the Skunk will be there. We might be bringing our newest porcupine, Bristle. I'm not sure if he's ready for Caffeinate for a Cause quite yet, but and then we have our owlet, Banshee, that we just announced as our newest ambassador. So you might see a lot of different animals out there that you may have not seen at Turtle Bay before.
So when you drive through Dutch Bros and you're getting that coffee that helps raise money for Turtle Bay Exploration Park, you would likely see one of the animal ambassadors with Sharon Clay. So to me, just going to see that makes the whole drive through worth it, and you get the added kudo of having a coffee.
Absolutely.
Or some other beverage. They have other beverages as well. So when I come back, I'm going to do a station ID. What I want to ask about is for these ambassadors, why do you call them ambassadors? This is a segment of Enjoy Exceptional Living. I am Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. This program is in collaboration with Enjoy Magazine, KKRN, 88.5 FM Community Radio, and myself. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. We are here in conversation with two individuals from Turtle Bay Exploration Park. We have the marketing coordinator, Alyssa Rosa, and the curator of collections and exhibits, Julia Cronin. So, Alyssa, you want to tell us about the ambassadors?
Absolutely. So, all of our animals are unreleasable. So, that means that they cannot live on their own in the wild anymore. So, whether somebody tried to keep them as a pet, or somebody called Turtle Bay and said, hey, I found this turtle, or, you know, however we end up getting them, this just means that they cannot survive in their own in the wild anymore. So, we take them in and we give them a new life, and we take care of them, and we call them ambassadors because they're ambassadors for their species. So we take that opportunity to give them a new life and to now make them have the purpose of educating our community.
Yeah, I think it's very important. And one of the things that shifts and changes as we conclude the summer session and begin the fall and winter season, what happens to the animal program?
So the animal program, we always kind of switch it up with the season. So for instance, we are just ending our Walk on the Wild Side animal show for the summer, but then we go into winter and we actually have a venom show that'll be going on through the winter. So the animal program, I know that sounds like, wait a second, do I want to go to a venom show? But don't worry, everything's totally safe. But it's also just an opportunity to see animals you've never seen before and
from
learn
afar.
About them. Yes, from afar, from a safe distance. But so Sharon, and all of the animal team at Turtle Bay Exploration Park creates programs throughout the entire year to educate children and people of all ages on these kinds of animals.
Yes. And you can always go to the website, can't you?
Absolutely.
Find out what's going on with the animal programs.
Yes, absolutely. Turtlebay.org. We have all of our events and exhibits listed there, and every animal. If you want to get to know a little bit more about the animals, you can go to our animal tab and learn about them a little bit more in depth. But Turtlebay.org really is the hub for all things at Turtle Bay.
Yes. And one of the things I like about the animal program is how people can get involved. I talked a little bit about gift for a membership, but you can also give to the well-being of an animal.
Yes, yes. So you can donate in support for the animals. You can buy, we have actually little plushies for sale that go to supporting an animal. But something that's actually really cool that we've got going on right now is we're trying to raise money. We're doing a fundraiser for wildlife safe trash cans around the campus. And a lot of people don't realize that we have on our campus, we have a lot of wildlife that just calls Turtle Bay home. And we are trying to raise money to get industrial trash cans to protect those animals from getting harmed or eating things that they shouldn't. So if you're wanting to support the animals, head to turtlebay.org, and there's a whole campaign going for wildlife safe trash cans. And that's a huge way to support the animals, not only our ambassadors, but the animals that live on our campus that are just regular wildlife.
And what I like about those trash cans is the animals cannot access the stuff that they shouldn't be accessing and eating, but it also doesn't harm them. They're so well constructed.
Totally. So, and it's just better for our environment with animals getting in there and just causing trash to be everywhere. It's a huge way of keeping our campus clean as well.
And isn't there a way that a person can sponsor an animal that, you know,
The Adopt an Animal program is a wonderful way for you to sponsor your favorite animal and get a plushie. And that is advertised both in the museum and down in the mill building. And you can get more information. Once again, our website's the best place. And we, our animals, Adopt an Animal sponsors get the pleasure of knowing that they are helping feed those animals because everybody eats.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't forget about that. During lockdown a few years ago, that animal team had to come in shifts and keep those animals fed.
Yeah.
And that takes a lot of time and energy and money to buy fresh produce. And so that's something that people forget about is that you have to take care of everybody. And that's a wonderful way to help sponsor your favorite critter at Turtle Bay.
You know, I also had a friend last year for her birthday. She referred us all to the website where they had a list of things that they wanted for the animals, which included, I actually bought a couple of the things that you put on the end of the hose that manages the water. So all those little things add up in cost. And so it doesn't matter the size that you want to give for a gift. It can be very little or a whole bunch. It always benefits.
Another thing you can do that supports the animals and is really fun is to do a behind the scenes. The ones that are available are on the website. Typically, when you see us advertising them, you see people with a beaver in their lap.
Yes.
Feeding the timber. very popular. Great for a birthday gift or a Father's Day or Mother's Day gift. And that money goes to support the program.
Yeah, that's wonderful. The care. And that is a very popular. I don't think anyone has ever said, I didn't have a great experience. I hear people brag about it over and over again. So it's a wonderful gift to have. So let's also think about other things that are coming up. In the month of October, isn't there something, Alyssa, coming up?
Yes, absolutely. Saturday, October 12th from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m., we have Oktoberfest, which is an annual event we have in our forest camp, our Paul Bunyan Forest Camp. But it's just an opportunity for people to come hang out. There's going to be local beer, food, live music. The animals will be out, games, activities. We totally encourage people to wear Oktoberfest themed costumes. And it's a fundraiser where all the proceeds go to supporting Turtle Bay.
Yeah, I love that. So what kind of costumes would someone wear if they were doing the Oktoberfest theme?
Sort of German beer garden type costumes. Yes. We see a lot of great costumes.
Lederhosen.
And Alyssa and the marketing team are running around taking photos and posting them on social media so you get shared. One of the things I like about this event is a lot of our beer events are over 21 events and you don't get to take your kids. This one is a family event.
Oh, nice.
Because there's lots for the kids to do as well.
And good food.
Amazing food.
Yeah.
Amazing food. And the local vendors, people really come out in force to help support Turtle Bay at these events. So if you see somebody at an event like this and it's a beer vendor, go down, frequent them. Go to their establishment and go say hi.
Making good connections.
Buy some stuff.
Yeah. Buy some beer, which is very popular, I am sure.
Yes.
So what's the date on that again?
So that's Saturday, October 12th from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. And tickets go on sale for that September 9th on turtlebay.org.
So you can buy ahead of time, make a plan, enjoy the beer. It's a family event.
Yes, root beer for the kids.
Root beer for the kids. That's what I would drink. And I love the German food, so that would be excellent. Then you mentioned Garden of Lights is November 22 through January 5th.
Yes.
So they can make it before the holiday. Well, actually, that's also before Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. So you can do a big event on Thanksgiving weekend or week.
Yes. We want to give people all the opportunities to come during the holidays.
That is excellent.
And something important is if you've been before, check out the dates and times because there are going to be different dates and times where typically we've been closed on Monday and Tuesday nights. Don't just assume that. Actually check the website because there are going to be different opening times depending on the week.
Yeah.
We're also offering a package for closer parking, but that's a whole separate package that you need to look into. And the website's the place to see that information and to be able to book that. So you'd be able to park instead of having to walk.
Yes. Now, I know in the lantern glowing wild, they had those lantern lounges. Do they have anything like that for the Garden of Lights?
Absolutely. So what actually inspired us to do the lantern lounges for Glowing Wild was our igloo lounges for Red and Garden of Lights. So it's just a really awesome opportunity for people to kind of have a private party or event at Red and Garden Lights. So it's just a way to kind of take your close friends and family and have a place to go and eat and have drinks and maybe be able to talk and chat and then go and walk through the garden. So if you're interested in our VIP igloo experience, that's definitely something that I would hop on as soon as possible, because they definitely sell out. People love to experience it. And those will also go on sale with the rest of the tickets at turtlebay.org.
Excellent. And those lounges, 6-8 people, something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I think it can fit up to 10, but it might be 8 to 10.
And you get a couple, usually, pizzas with it?
Yeah, so you have somebody coming and bringing you food and drinks.
That's not too bad.
And I mean, yeah, it's a great way to kind of elevate your experience.
Yes. And I had a friend do it. And what they did is they started out with a certain amount of friends that they had the maximum out. And then they stayed a couple hours and some left and others came in. So you book it for a period of time. So mm-hmm. It doesn't have to have the same people there during that time. Some can right. come and go. So it's a really nice way to have your private space.
Right. Yeah, it's yours for the night.
Yeah.
So it's not, you don't have to worry about getting out at a certain time, except when we close.
Yeah.
And then we want you to leave.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, so it's yours for the night. You're getting service. And that the food and soft beverages are included. Obviously you can go buy your alcoholic beverages from the cart as well yourselves. And, it actually makes a great auction item. I personally auctioned off one that the Historical Society Board is buying for someone to experience. And I'm very excited about who got it. And they're going to book the night of their choice. And we are going to sort of curate an experience for them. So that's an opportunity,
brilliant.
Too.
Yeah, yeah, I like that. And wouldn't that be a good gift to give someone, too? That's a great idea.
Absolutely. And local businesses, if you want to treat your employees to something or your family, it's a perfect experience for anyone.
Yes. And there's some things, anything else that's coming up on the calendar between now and January that we should be
Those are at? Our three biggest Those, events.
That's wonderful and great events. Mm-hmm. And I want to also talk about, there's some places to go that are really special. One's at the south end of the Sundial Bridge, where people can gather and not only see the bridge and the river running by, but they can get a beverage and some food. Alyssa, can you
Absolutely.
Help us share about that?
Branch House Riverfront Bistro is a great spot to grab food and drinks and just kind of enjoy the nature that we're surrounded by at Turtle Bay. So you can get there. It opens as early as 7 a.m. So if you're taking your morning walk or if you're, seeing the Sundial Bridge for the first time or for the millionth time, it's a great spot to grab coffee, smoothies, soft serve, a burger, sandwiches. It really has something for everyone. There's a little play area for kids, an outdoor patio that you can relax on. During the winter months, there's a fire pit out there. And it's really the perfect spot to grab something to go or to just sit and relax while you're either enjoying the museum or you're just out enjoying our campus.
And I've been out there sometimes when there's live music.
Yes.
So sometimes that's what happens as well. It's just a beautiful setting.
Yes. Every Wednesday, we have Wine Down Wednesday at Branch House. So that's where you can get 25% off wine, $10 charcuterie boards, and then we have live music from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. So that's a great night to come and really experience it. And then we actually have Brain Battle Trivia there every Sunday.
Ooh.
So if you want to play trivia and grab some friends and have some fun on a Sunday evening, Branch House is the place to be.
Ah, that sounds really enticing. I didn't realize. See, when I've gone there into the music, I just thought, this is great setting. I'm just going to kick back and enjoy. And in fact, I like the decor there, the change in decor that's happened in recent years.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so comfortable.
Yes, yes. It's a spot for families and just individuals who want to just hang out, like you were saying. And we have some retail in there. So if you want to bring home some Turtle Bay swag with you or, just have something for the kids, it's really a great comfortable spot.
Now, the items that you see inside of the Branch House Bistro, that used to be for gifts and things like that. Is there another place in on site, or is it all housed right there now?
So no, you can actually, we have our museum store is still open for members and non-members. So you don't have to be a member to shop at the store. So you can get a lot of really cool things at Branch House, but then also right when you walk into the museum, there's a lot there. You can get Turtle Bay shirts. You can, we always have something out that coordinates with the exhibition that's currently going on. So if you really liked the dinosaurs, there's tons of dinosaur things that you can grab right now. And then we also have like a whole section for Celebrate 20 for this year. So if you really want to represent your love for the Sundial Bridge, you can get something there. So like I said, it's open for members and non-members, but if you are a member, you get 10% off, which is really cool.
Plus that happens with the bistro too, right?
Yes, absolutely. It applies for the bistro as well.
Yes. This is a segment of Enjoy Exceptional Living. I am Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. This program is in collaboration with Enjoy Magazine, KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio, and myself. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. We are here in conversation with the curator of collections and exhibits, Julia Cronin, the marketing coordinator, Alyssa Rosa, both from Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Then we also can't forget about the restaurant and the beautiful Sheraton. Can you help us with that, Alyssa?
Yes, absolutely. We have Mosaic Restaurant that's attached to the beautiful Sheraton Hotel. And Mosaic is another great spot to grab brunch, lunch, dinner, even breakfast. Mm-hmm. So it's right there, kind of nestled in by the forest camp and in, right by on the boardwalk as well that we had mentioned earlier. So it's really a beautiful spot. You can sit on the outdoor patios in the front and back. And we rotate our menu every season. So we have a summer, spring, and winter menu. So you're always going to be experiencing something new and different. Yeah. And
delicious.
And delicious, yes. And we have happy hour from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. every day. We always have Music Mondays. So we have live music from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. every single Monday. So it's another great spot to visit if you're coming to Turtle Bay.
Plus, I think that having the vegan and the gluten-free also incorporated, I think, is an important thing.
And if you're an art aficionado, we have the Mosaic Gallery, which is between the hotel and the restaurant, and that changes every 3 months with a new North State artist being featured. And you can go into the Sheraton lobby also and see our special artwork by Bob Nugent, which is all the moods of Turtle Bay, which he spent over a year creating. We were very fortunate that they allowed us to choose that piece of art and to curate a gallery in that space.
Yeah.
And it's a wonderful, wonderful place to hang out and be. And we also, art sales help local artists, and they help Turtle Bay as well.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's interesting because year-round I've sat out in the patio because they have the heaters out there in the winter. Mm-hmm. Because I like that connection to nature, to be able to be out there. However, I also enjoy being inside. I mean, yes. It's a beautiful setting. Very nice design.
Yes. One of our favorites is the Camino room. You walk in and you're sitting in like a light, you know, a dimmed room that kind of feels like it takes date night to the next level sometimes for people. I mean, there's a fireplace and then, but then you also have a section of the restaurant that's super family friendly and just welcomes everyone. And it's a really great spot to grab lunch, brunch, dinner, whatever you're feeling. They really have it all.
Yes, it's wonderful. So what about the Sheraton? What's the role of Sheraton? It is, what would you say historically why it was placed there?
So Turtle Bay, or a branch of Turtle Bay, actually owns the hotel and restaurant, and we have it managed by a different company. We built that to help with an income stream so that we could support ourselves in our nonprofit mission and be able to keep our gate admission lower. We are a 501c3 nonprofit. We do not get, we do have a contract with the city to take care of the bridge, but we are not supported by tax dollars, except when we get grants that are tax dollar related grants. And so we have to make our own money or have money donated. And we want to keep our gate price reasonable for our guests. And to do that, our former CEO, Mike Warren, said, hey, let's build a hotel. So every year the hotel donates a portion of its proceeds. We still have to pay the hotel bills, so right. We don't get everything. But and running a hotel is expensive.
It is.
And they donate a portion of the proceeds to Turtle Bay. So we're not for profit. So we don't have shareholders. We're not beholden to anyone like that we have to pay. So everything we make gets plowed back into the mission.
Yeah.
That does include paying our staff, but no one's getting a dividend.
Right. Right. No one's raking in the big bucks.
No, absolutely not.
It's to benefit the museum.
Absolutely. And we always run right at the margin. It's mm-hmm. always, you know, and the hotel does very well. It's a very well-respected, very highly rated Sheraton property. And we're really fortunate to have it. It's a very boutique-sized Sheraton. It's a great intimate experience. We have a lot of conferences here. That's it that really attracts folks. And they love the fact that they're right by the river.
Yes. And I think some of the things they've done with the outside seating, the fire pits mm-hmm. and things, that is beautiful. So it's a very, very nice setting.
Right, the 4th of July is a spectacular place to be.
Yes. Probably yeah. book it, far in advance.
It's really the best because, I mean, sometimes you go out to hotels and then you're like, oh, where do I go to eat? Where do I go to do? I don't know the area. Yeah. But, you know, Sheraton, you've got a place to stay, a great place to great places to eat and the museum right there and the river. It's really a great campus
and the trails.
Yes, mm-hmm. absolutely. If you're looking to stay somewhere, the Sheraton is where you should stay here.
And you know, one of the things that has struck me in the years that I have been on the trails, I go to the bridge when I have guests. We always go to the bridge, look up river, down river, walk across, go underneath because it's so beautiful. But I've also taken trails where I'm going, what is that sound? And I look over and here's two bucks jousting. So, you know, wildlife is ever present. So to be able to access that in the middle of Reading is pretty awesome.
Yeah, I do want people to understand when they're walking across our boardwalk and they see deer underneath, those are not Turtle Bay's deer. Those are just deer. Yes. And they're there. And but that's our wildlife is everywhere. People often say, oh, your skunk is loose. And we're like, no, the skunk is where she belongs. That is a wild skunk. Please don't approach the skunk. I think it really makes people respect and enjoy nature.
Yeah.
Because you have that wonderful interface between our campus and the actual world right mm-hmm. there.
Yeah, I've been in the outside patio by the boardwalk and had a skunk come up. And
it is not Blossom.
No. And what was funny is it just kind of like, who's here? Okay, I'm out of here. It was very awesome.
Well, I think we teach a lot of respect. People learn that rattlesnakes are not your enemy.
Yeah.
And that killing a rattlesnake because it's in your yard is counterproductive because it's actually eating all of your rats and things.
It's part of the ecosystem.
It's part of the ecosystem. And you will experience at Turtle Bay signs that say, rattlesnake basking, please go around.
Yeah.
And it's not our rattlesnakes, it's the rattlesnakes that live in the garden. And you can actually come inside the forest camp into the mill building and see real rattlesnakes in their enclosure or go to the Venom Show mm-hmm. and learn a lot more about them from our incredibly talented and knowledgeable staff.
Yeah. That's awesome. You know, one of the other things, too, I want to mention, have you mentioned, is throughout the year, you can have the main part of the museum, then you go down the boardwalk, and then you enter another section of the campus.
Yeah, that's Paul Bunyan's Forest Camp, which is a really awesome spot for families to come. I think people sometimes don't even realize it's back there.
Yes.
You know, it's like, wait, cross the boardwalk. Yeah. There's more to it.
Yeah.
There's a playground, the mill building, which has a lot of really cool artifacts in it. And then, of course, we have all of our animals that live back there. Mm-hmm. They have their own hotel back there. So it's you get an opportunity to see these animals and be able to, you know, learn a little bit more about them and have your kids play on the playground, learn some things yourself. It's a whole little thing back there. And it's a really, really fun part of the park.
And there's some other things that kids really enjoy.
Yeah, there's a rock climbing wall and there's a zip line and slides. And there's a lot of really cool, fun things for kids to do.
And don't tell anybody, but I really like Stemple Creek.
Oh, Stemple.
Which is actually the Sacramento River.
Yes.
All the way from Mount Shasta down.
Yes. And tell people what's fun about it.
Well, you get to actually get in and like get wet, which is wonderful in the summertime. But you learn a lot about the river and its connection with forestry mm-hmm. and its connection with the water cycle and the history of Shasta Dam and some other wonderful things out there. But it's just a really fun place to sort of experiment with water and, you know, learn how to hand pump works and things like mm-hmm. that. And that's one of the original 1997 installations. We've upgraded things over time. The rest of the forest camp elements had to be replaced back in 2017, partly because we were building the hotel, but they'd also been loved to death.
Yeah.
So at that time, we took the opportunity to separate the playground into two areas, including Babe's Corral, which is the under fives area. And that helps keep the little guys from getting run over by a bunch of, you know, 8 year olds come running through on a school program. And all of the equipment in there is age appropriate to developing muscle control and all sorts of wonderful things. And then you can kind of age up into the playground where you're climbing and you're going up high and you're coming down big slides and you're riding that wonderful zip line, mm-hmm. which is very popular with adults as well.
Yes.
it's an all age friendly short zip line. And because we still are forestry oriented, you can also learn about a very large piece of logging equipment next to it, this wonderful logging arch, which we, as we joke, is the zip lines for logs. And so we always are working our interpretation into everything, including play.
Yeah. So we're almost out of time. I want to have you highlight website, phone number for those that are listening. Melissa?
Yes. The turtlebay.org is our website, and that is where you can go and get all of your information. But if you would like to call,
you can go to 530-243-8850 and go through the phone tree. Mm-hmm. Do listen to the options because you will get led to the correct location. Make sure that you're asking. There is a Garden of Lights line. There are lines for every department. So you can get to the right place to ask that question.
And in spring, there's an event you do for a fundraiser. I just want to highlight while we have a few minutes.
Oh, in March, our annual auction. We like to think it's the best auction in town.
We have a region.
We have an amazing auction, which is put on by our development department. They work very hard all year to get amazing donations from vendors, individuals, artists all over to create these amazing experiences and things you can take home with you that you can bid on. And all of that goes to support everything we do at Turtle Bay Exploration Park. It is a huge cornerstone of keeping us going, and it is a fun event. It's themed every year. So last year it was the Kentucky Derby. Everyone That's else awesome. Wore cute dresses. I wore a horse costume.
There you go.
Anyway, I had my real roses on. You know, I was a winner. But we have amazing food and drink items, a wonderful live auction and entertainment, and just it's fun to go to the auction. Yes.
And one of the things I like that happens is when people will make a donation of a weekend and maybe they have a cabin up in the mountains or they have a place that's by the river over on the coast, you know, they give a long weekend and donate that so people can have bid on that and have that experience. But it also might mean that they have a special skill that maybe they're doing, creating a wooden bowl or a park bench. I mean, it's really endless.
It really is.
Yeah.
Back when I started, they were still auctioning off a puppy because it was the Carter House auction originally.
Ah.
And that was, and so they were, it was usually a purebred like golden retriever or something like that. We don't do that anymore. We don't auction off live animals or children. But it has literally been going that, I mean, longer than I've been around.
Yes.
And it is a wonderful, wonderful event.
So Julia Cronin, curator of collections and exhibits, the phone number for Turtle Bay Exploration Park.
530-243-8850.
And Alyssa Rosa as the marketing coordinator, the website to go to?
turtlebay.org.
Wonderful. Thank you to both of you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Yes, I want to remind us here in the studio and our listeners, we want to make this day and every day a day to enjoy exceptional living. Thank you for joining us. Thank you.